Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, sharing today from a new book that is available at Amazon.com regarding the rapture or catching up of the saints. I'm addressing the particular theory that has been around about 200 years. It's been made popular via books, movies, and even the teachings of outstanding scholars. It's called the pre-tribulation rapture, and I'm not representing any church or denomination in the contents of this book, but I believe that the information that I'm about to share with you will make you think twice about this popular teaching. The name of the book is Pre-Trib on Trial. We've covered a lot of ground so far. We've had virtual witnesses coming up to a virtual witness stand, talking to a virtual jury, and so forth. We've covered the entire New Testament, that is, all the possible, well, not all of them, because the defense will have some later on, but the prosecution's evidence for a post-tribulation rapture. We've covered the whole New Testament. I haven't found a new pre-trib in there at all as we've been looking through. We're coming to what would be day two of the trial, where we go to some Old Testament witnesses. Let's talk about them. Let's talk first about Lot. Let's call Lot the nephew of Abraham and an escapee of the judgment of God. Lot, please take the stand. Now, Lot, you're called a righteous man in the New Testament. Yes, this is true, but it seems to be more because of my righteous uncle than any good found in me. I had his conscience, but I didn't always mimic his actions. Nevertheless, Lot, the Lord saw fit to keep you from the judgment that fell on your city. Yes, my wife, my daughters, and I were moved quickly away from the scene of disaster. Yes, Lot, the Lord does care for his own. Tell me, was there ever any talk of your being removed from the planet to keep you safe from the fire and brimstone? I don't understand your question, sir. I will withdraw the question. Many who are following this trial will understand the reference. Your witness. Defense now speaks. I have no direct questions of the witness, but I do resent the implications of your questioning, almost making this interrogation a laughing matter. Prosecution says, I'm only saying that it is possible for God to judge the wicked without bringing the righteous to heaven. Lot, you may step down. The next witness is one who experienced on a much larger scale the protection from God's fury. This was Noah, the man of God in the days of the great flood. Noah, please take the stand. Was it a shock, Noah, to you to find that you and your family were the only ones on earth that found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Yes, his choice of me and his guidance during the process were indeed humbling. Noah, I have to ask you, as I did the last witness, risking the scorn of our eminent counselor, was there any talk of your being removed from the earth during the time of the judgment of the flood? Well, we were removed from the earth in one sense, as the waters of the flood lifted us high above ground for many months. The defense stands up and says, excellent point. Prosecutor, if the court please, I ask that the defense counsel confine his remarks to his designated cross-examination time. Noah, did God take you to heaven? Oh, absolutely not. He merely concealed us from the flooding by showing me how to make a waterproof sailing vessel. Yes, exactly. Your witness. Defense says, I have no questions of this witness. You've proved in both Old Testament witnesses so far that God does remove his people before he judges. Prosecution says, clumsy of me. I meant to prove that God does not remove his people to heaven by these two witnesses. And further testimony will reveal that sometimes he doesn't go so far as angel escorts and waterproof boats. You may step down, Noah, and thank you. The prosecution now calls the prophet Moses. Moses, what an honor to have your expert testimony in this matter. Please tell us what it was like in the Hebrew section of Egypt as the plagues began to fall on that country. Yes, during the first three plagues, God gave us grace to endure what was happening nationwide. The blood, the frogs, the lice, it was a very inconvenient time, a difficult time, but we were given grace to endure. And Moses, after the third plague, how was it different then? Well, the Lord in his mercy began to draw a line between us and the Egyptians. There were no swarms of flies in Goshen, where we lived. None of our livestock died in the next plague. We experienced no hail, no darkness, no killing of our firstborn. Yes, Moses, and though the record is not clear about the locusts and the boils, we're assuming some protection of God. From the plagues on to the Red Sea and beyond, what did you learn from all of this about the ways of God? Well, we learned that the Lord knows how to care for his own. When we, as a nation, have been on his side and kept ourselves from idolatry, he's blessed us, protected us, kept us from evil. Indeed, Moses, and so shall it ever be with the people of God. Don't you agree? Oh, yes. Yes, I said it in Psalm 90. You've been our dwelling place in all generations. Indeed. Your witness. Again, the defense says, I have no questions. And once more, you have proved that God separates his people from evil. Prosecutor says, or gives them grace to live through the evil. Well, we now call the prophet Isaiah to the stand. Brother Isaiah, you've been blessed with many glimpses of the future, even our own future, it seems. Yes, I am humbled still, as I was at my call, when I told the Lord I was unworthy even to live after having seen the Lord in his glory. Isaiah, I see that your prophecies are not in any particular order. You go back and forth in subject matter also. Sometimes you're talking about things that are to happen in your own day. Sometimes things that have not yet happened in our day. Sometimes you even record history. Am I correct in this? Yes, that is correct. Isaiah, I'm looking at your 26th chapter, the last two verses, where you invite the people of God, we assume you mean Israel here, to go into a room, shut the doors behind them, and hide for a short time. Yes. Yes, I go on to talk about how the Lord will then come to earth to judge it for the last time. Indeed. Now, this seems to match with our brother John's revelation, where he sees Jesus coming to earth with the saints to judge the earth and then set up a kingdom. Tell me, where do the saints hide on that day? Well, it wasn't revealed to me where they hide. It was only revealed that the command is given to them to do the hiding, not for God to hide them himself. Well, Isaiah, when Jesus comes in judgment, he does bring all the saints with him as they're caught up in the twinkling of an eye. Is it possible that they're simply kept back from bloodshed as Jesus takes out his wrath on the earth? Well, again, that was not revealed to me. The details of place I do not know, only the details of time. I went on to say in the next chapter that the devil will be dealt with in that same moment, a fact which also matches up with the order of events in John's revelation. Yes, Isaiah, I see that. And immediately after that, the waiting saints are placed in a position where they can reign with Christ in his new kingdom. Your witness. Defense says, Isaiah, is it not possible that the saints have been waiting in that special room for 7 years? Well, I'm not sure that that would be the little time I spoke of, but I don't have a definite answer to your question. Nothing further. Isaiah, you may step down. Well, please come to the stand, the one called the weeping prophet, Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah the priest. Jeremiah, you spoke of many sad times that are coming or have come to Israel, but it seems to me the saddest moment you predict is found in your 30th chapter. Could you tell us about it? Yes, I saw men with pale faces, grabbing their bodies in awful pain. I saw a day of unprecedented evil for Israel, as Jesus saw hundreds of years later, and Daniel also, who lived near my own day. And what did you call this day? I called it the time of Jacob's trouble. Well, the word trouble, that's a synonym for tribulation. Of course, Jacob is Israel. Were you saying that an unprecedented time of punishment for Israel was going to come in your future? Yes, that is correct. Did not this kind of trouble begin in A.D. 70 and continue in endless wars and the Holocaust and trouble even to this day? Perhaps. But I was speaking of something unprecedented, something that has never happened before, something so evil as to bring Israel to its knees and the world with her. Bad news, I see. Jeremiah, did you see a silver lining to it all? Did you see a happy ending? Yes, I said that Jacob and Israel would be saved out of it. Incredible. A time of wrath on Israel, followed by her acceptance. It seems to us that your good news has to do with the remnant God talks about often. A group of Israelites sealed in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, protected for some time from the wrath of Antichrist, and then perhaps slaughtered and brought to glory in chapter 14, as are the Gentiles earlier. Well, all I can tell you for sure is that a great and awful time of punishment is coming to Israel, such as never was since the world began, no, nor ever shall be, as Jesus said, but that somehow God will bring what is left of Israel to himself in the glorious kingdom that is coming. Jeremiah, while all this is happening, what's happening to the church? Are they in heaven, watching it all, feasting with Jesus, the King of the Jews, who's always had Israel on his heart? Well, I'm sure John could answer this better, but if I understand his revelation in chapter 12, when the enemy is temporarily blocked from hurting my people, Israel, he goes after another group of people, described as those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That, I believe, describes the people that you would call the church. Yes, Jeremiah. And so the church and Israel are on the earth at the same time, even as they are now. God dealing with them separately, but not a planet apart, as it were. Your witness. Yes, Jeremiah, how much about the Church of Jesus and his plan for it was revealed to you when you were prophesying? Oh, I knew nothing of this plan. The mystery of the Church was not unveiled until 7 centuries after my death. I see. You may step down. No further questions. The prosecution now calls Ezekiel, son of Buzi, prophet during the captivity, contemporary of Daniel. Welcome, sir, to this trial. Brother Ezekiel, I am intrigued by the Lord's word to 6 men that you watched after the glory of the Lord was in the process of being removed from the temple. Do you recall the scene? Oh, yes. Yes, indeed, these men were to put a mark on the men who were grieved with God over the worsening of the idolatry of Israel. These marked men were hidden while there was a general massacre of men and women, regardless of age and even children. God has stopped having pity at that point and was only setting aside those whose heart was right. Yes, yes, Ezekiel, exactly. Here again we see God putting his own special people in a hiding place while he pours judgment on the masses. Yet there was no need to take them out of the world, just out of the way. Thank you, Ezekiel. Do you have questions, counselor? None. As before, we have both proved a point here. Yes, but, sir, we continue to look for an out-of-this-world precedent. Ezekiel, you may step down, and we're going to call your contemporary prophet Daniel to the stand. Daniel, you only have a few chapters attributed to you in God's Word. Were you given glimpses of the end times? Oh, yes, Daniel says. First, there was an outline of future history, culminating in the setting up of a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Daniel, for the purposes of our trial today, did you see in that vision any sign of a two-phase coming of the Lord of that kingdom? No, I was simply told that in the days of the final world empire, the Lord would set up a kingdom. Well, when did you next see a vision of the end, Daniel? Well, I saw the kingdoms of the world again, but this time in the form of some animals. The last animal I saw had a special horn on him that I was told was an evil man who would rise in the last days. He would be so evil that all the saints would be given into his hand. Yes, and then, well, I kept looking, and suddenly this evil man was replaced by one called the Ancient of Days. I saw thousands of angels, judgment, open books, the evil one judged, the Son of Man then given rule over the kingdoms of the world. Did you see any movement in the heavens just before the evil one took over? Years before? I mean, were the saints suddenly taken to heaven in your vision and to return later with the Son of Man? No, the saints do not appear in my vision until after the evil one has done his work. And they're not seated until his dominion is transferred to the Son of Man. Well, Daniel, when else were you given a glimpse of the end? Well, in my concluding chapter, you'll read of how Michael, the archangel, oversees a time of trouble such as the world has never known. Isaiah saw this, John saw it, Jesus saw it, and it's at this time the people of God will be delivered, and others raised from the dead to go to heaven or hell. Well then, Daniel, what do these words lead us to believe about the timing of the events? Well, since the trouble is mentioned first, it shall occur in history first, followed by God's deliverance in sending the Son of Man that I saw earlier, followed by resurrections. Well, do you see any reason to believe that there is a deliverance or a resurrection before this great time of trouble? No, I don't. Thank you. Your witness. Defense is Daniel. Do you believe you were given any knowledge of the church that was to come? Oh, no, I was not. Not that I know of. Then could these saints have merely been elect Israel? Well, I was not told who these saints were. I do know that God's people in the church today are called saints. Yes, but since the issue at hand is the rapture of the church, is it not possible that the rapture could have occurred, as we've been saying, without the foreknowledge of the prophets of old? Well, all that was revealed to me is that there was an evil kingdom, followed by a heavenly-based kingdom, and the saints were given that kingdom under the auspices of their king. It's hard to believe that the church would be left out of this. If the church is to rule and reign with Christ, it would seem that this is the picture I was seeing, even though I'm a Jewish prophet. Yes, no further questions. Well, thank you, Daniel, for these important insights. We have one more witness from the prophets, the son of Berechiah named Zechariah. Among the last men who spoke the word of the Lord before John the Baptist appeared centuries later. Please take the stand, Brother Jeremiah. Zechariah, many evil things have happened to the Jewish people over the centuries. Does the prophecy you recorded in what we call your 14th chapter have yet to be fulfilled? Zechariah says, "You will see that I speak there of a time when all the nations shall be gathered against Jerusalem, houses plundered, women raped, half of the city in captivity. But I also speak of a remnant that will not be cut off, and then the actual participation in the onslaught by the Lord himself, and the Lord's physical return to Mount Olivet, as our brother Luke has recorded in his history. I also was given the fact that the saints will come with the Lord as he descends." Well, Zechariah, I must ask you what I have asked everyone. Is there any hint of a special coming of the Lord before all this trouble begins to take certain saints up to heaven so they won't have to endure the trouble? Well, I cannot speak for all the ways of the Lord, but I can say that there's no such hint anywhere in the collection of words that God gave to me. I see what the others have seen, namely, awful tribulation, followed by the return of the Lord to the earth to set up a kingdom where he will be king over all the earth. Yes, thank you, sir. Your witness. Well, I have nothing to ask but the question I've given to the other prophets regarding their knowledge of the church, and I'm confident as to what his answer will be about this. Zechariah, you may step down. Thank you for that testimony. Well, we're going to leave it right there. Next time, we're going to visit a man called Mr. Wordsmith, a guy that knows all about words. You want to come back and hear his testimony. Thank you for sharing with me today, and do take a look at my other recordings here on sermonaudio.com/aservant70. There are 3,500 plus audios of Christian teaching and readings covering over 200 topics. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.